Back in the 1990s, the corporation Microsoft saw the potential of the Internet for creating an online encyclopedia. Maybe some of you remember it. It was called Encartia. One problem with encyclopedias at the time was that the information got outdated very quickly. And also, print encyclopedias are very expensive. So Microsoft thought to themselves, a computer-based system, the information could be updated quickly, and they could have a less expensive encyclopedia to sell to people through a CD-ROM, or they could have it online, and then there would be advertising that they would collect for the online product. But in the year 2000, a small group of individuals saw the same need and started putting together an online encyclopedia, just a group of volunteers. And they called their online encyclopedia Wikipedia. Now, they kept building it, and more people started volunteering to add to all the different articles that they have on their encyclopedia. And it turned out to be quite successful. Wikipedia is well known and much used today. The Microsoft attempt at an encyclopedia was discontinued in 2009. They had to admit that Wikipedia had a much more used product. And Wikipedia was free online. Presently, Wikipedia has almost 3 million volunteers, with about 100,000 of those volunteers contributing to Wikipedia to update it regularly. Because events can happen in the world, and they can update it very quickly. And they asked, the question was asked, why do so many people volunteer? Well, in a survey, that first they said they just enjoyed doing it. It was fun. So people are having fun doing Wikipedia. And second reason was that they thought that this kind of information should be free. So it excited them that they were providing something free to people. And they also felt that their efforts were benefiting others. It gave them a good feeling that what they were doing was benefiting others. The volunteers at Wikipedia are givers. Now, as a church, we are givers. Individually, we are all givers. We see the need for the message of the kingdom of God to go out to the world. We truly see the commission we're given in Matthew chapter 28 to go to all the world and to teach all nations and to baptize them. And we see that this message should be free. And we see that this message truly can benefit the people of the world. It truly is the greatest thing that we could provide for this world. The knowledge of God's truth, the knowledge of God's way of life, the knowledge of the kingdom, the hope of the kingdom, just the knowledge of the resurrection, just so many things that we have that we give free. And it's amazing to me, and we are a very small church organization. The United Church of God is very small. Maybe, I don't even know what our numbers are now, maybe 12,000 people, including children. And to look at what we're able to do, to me, is amazing. You know, and it's just exciting to be a part of this, that God has allowed us to be a part of this, so where we can have all the articles that we have. We have the magazine. We try to get people started for the TV program. And, of course, the Internet has just tons and tons of information. We have an excellent website. So, as a church, we are givers. Today, I want to discuss one of the reasons that Christ's kingdom will be so successful. And that reason is that it will be a kingdom of givers. The kingdom of God is going to be a kingdom of givers. The king himself will be a giver. And glimpses of this are in many different scriptures. I just want to turn over to Zephaniah chapter 3 and verses 15 through 20. Zephaniah is toward the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Okay. Zephaniah 3, verse 15. And as we read through this, notice how this king is a giver. It says, the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. This is Jesus Christ. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly. There are some people who are going to be sad when Jesus Christ comes. They're going to be angry. Who are among you to whom its reproach is a burden? Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. So, as a giver, what does a giver do? We see here many different things that he did. He gave them freedom. He cast our enemies away. He will give security. He will save. He will give an atmosphere of gladness, singing and rejoicing, because he's going to be rejoicing. He's going to be singing and very glad. He's going to set the stage. He will quiet you with his love. He will save the lame. He will gather those that are driven out. He will give them leadership training. He will give praise to his people. We should be praising him, but he's going to give praise to his people. He is going to be an encourager. He is the ultimate giver. And will set quite an example in giving. Now, giving is not just about giving money. As you can see right here, none of these things had to do with money. There are many ways to give. And Christ the King is a giver. What about God the Father? Well, I'm just going to turn over to James chapter 1, verse 5 real quick. You don't have to turn there. You probably know the scripture. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So he's just using wisdom as an example. And he says, if we ask for that, our great God is going to give it to us liberally. Or some translations say generously. And he's going to give it to us without reproach, without finding fault, without blaming, without reproving, without rebuking, without remembering that one thing we did wrong when we were 18 years old. He's going to still give us wisdom if we ask for it. So God sometimes does reproach us, though, for our good. But if we repent and turn, he forgives and he forgets. God the Father is a giver. He is a giver. What is one of the greatest things that God gives his people? Most of you know the answer to that one. His Holy Spirit. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter talks about it being the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's gift to us, to help us. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, I want to turn over there. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. And this section of scripture is talking, and there's a little heading in my Bible, is talking about serving God with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. These are other things that God gives to his people to help them serve. So I just wanted to look at verse 8, and it says, and is one of those things, it says, he who gives with liberality. So one of the gifts that God gives us is the gift of giving. And it's not just like I said, it's not just money, but whatever we have, we can give. We give with liberality. We give it with liberality or generously. And then, let's see, the King James has it. They will be generous. I got to get the right place. Wrong place. Sorry. Verse 6. Says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So this is talking about this as being one of those gifts that is given to us, but we are to use them. We're not supposed to just let them be something we soak up, but he gives us that gift so that we can help others, so that we can serve. And we do it with liberality. I think the some translations have simplicity or no ulterior motives. And, of course, some have it as generously, willing to give or share freely. So, a spiritual gift is giving. Now, what about in God's kingdom? We saw that the king is going to be a giver in God's kingdom. But let's look over at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1. And the scripture says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. So we look forward to a kingdom of righteousness and justice. And that is just so fantastic, to be able to look forward to a world of righteousness and justice. And then the next, I think, six scriptures kind of talk about a reign of righteousness, and it contrasts it with some of the unrighteous things that people do in this world. And kind of, you could read those later. But I just want to go to verse 8. And it talks about, this is what's going to happen in a kingdom, a righteous kingdom. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. The King James has it, a liberal man devises liberal things, and by liberality he shall stand. There will be generous men, there will be generous women, and there will be generous children in God's kingdom. And they will actually devise or focus on doing generous things. They're going to focus on doing generous things. And by generosity, it says, they will stand, or they will be established, or they will be stable. Generosity is going to help make them stable. help make them solid. So generosity, being a giver, it will be a trait of the people of the righteous kingdom, the kingdom of God. Did Jesus teach being a giver? Yes, he did. There's many different scriptures I could go to, but I want to go to one over in Acts. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And this is something the Apostle Paul said. This was Paul talking to the elders of the church. This was his last message to these elders. I think he was in Ephesus. And he just had some important things to tell them. In Genesis chapter, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he says, "I've shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul set an example in this. He was a giver. He was not a taker. He worked as a tent maker to pay for his living expenses. And we see in other scriptures at the end of his life, basically all he had was his clothes, some books, and maybe he had a few tools, because he did have a trade as a tent maker, so he probably had some tools. Now, this you don't find this saying of Jesus over in the Gospels, but this is something evidently that Paul knew from what some of the apostles told him. This was a saying that Jesus used to say. But the word blessed means happy or happier. So what he was saying is, you will be happier if you give rather than receive. Now, scientists did a study. It's very interesting. Scientists did a study where they divided people into two groups. They gave each group $20. They told the one group that they could spend it on themselves. They were to spend it on themselves. And then they told the second group that they were to spend it on others. And then, after they had done this, they found that the people who spent it on others were happier than those who spent it on themselves after it was over. Economists call this the warm glow of giving. Psychologists call it the helper's high. There's just something about giving that makes people feel better. Neuroscience evidence shows that giving actually activates the reward and meaning centers in our brain. And it sends out pleasure and purpose signals. It makes us feel better. It makes us feel more satisfied. So the same benefits happen to those who give time. Now, that was an example of giving money. Give their time. A study in volunteering showed that predicted future increases in happiness and decreases in depression some months later after they had started volunteering. They did another study that one group of adults were given massages, and another group of adults gave massages to babies. And then they tested the hormones in their blood after this was over, and those who had massaged the babies had less stress hormones in their blood than those who had received the massages themselves. So giving adds meaning to our life. It distracts us from our problems. It helps us feel valued by others. So happier are those who give than those that receive. It's just a living principle. So what are some of the principles about giving that the Bible gives us? I want to go over to Luke chapter 6 There's lots of principles about giving, but some of them I want to hit. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6, verse 38. He says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So what can you give? You could give money. You could give time. You could give thoughtfulness. You could give prayers. You could give encouragement. You could give hospitality. You could give friendliness. It might be you could give a smile. You could at least give a smile. Or you could give a pat on the back. And then you could just probably think of many more things. I know when I first came in the church, I first started attending in 1971. And what I was most impressed was the giving nature of the people. Many different members. I was a college student, didn't have a whole lot of money, didn't have a car actually, but many members had me over to their homes for meals on the Sabbath. Some of them had me stay over on a Saturday night so I could be with them for activities on Sunday. I had a member who gave me a ride back and forth to church every week. Had another member that gave me a ride to my first Feast of Tabernacles. I remember we camped in a camping ground. We were in Jekyll Island, actually, in 1972. And we had a camping ground over at the other side of Brunswick. And I remember we were all just kind of like a family there in that campground, church people. And the lady next to us always made sure there were three college students there. And she made sure we had breakfast. And I just will never forget those acts of the people gave to me, and I really appreciated it. But they had it to give, and they wanted to give, and I could see this was a group of givers. So anyway, getting back to this scripture, Luke chapter 6, when you try to give, it says, give good measure. Now, he gives the example of someone selling grain, where the person who was selling grain gave good measure. They had a bucket of grain. They just shook the bucket around and made it so it settled, and then they could put more grain on it, so it was right up to the brim. They gave good measure. And that's how we should give. We should give good measure. Give it to the brim. So, what is another principle that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I think I'm just going to go to verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Actually, this whole section here, this chapter actually is about the region around Corinth helping the brethren in Judah. The people in Judah were suffering a drought, and they were very much in need of help. It actually, Josephus says it was a very, very severe drought. The people were starving. But anyway, they had plenty in this region around Corinth. And they had actually said, "Oh, we'll send some food. We'll send some gifts to the people over in Judea." So it was time to gather those gifts together, and Paul wanted to make sure that it happened. And actually, verse 7, a very neat scripture, he says, "So let every one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver." When you see the results of what you're doing, you should be cheerful. When you're giving, you should believe in what you're giving for. And it should make you cheerful to want to do it. And, you know, they should have been thinking about how they were really helping those poor people in Judea and how much they needed it and how much it was going to be appreciated. And they should have been having an attitude of really wanting to do this. Then in verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So, you know, God has blessed us tremendously. He's blessed us each in different ways, maybe not financially, some of us, but he has blessed us and given us an abundance so that we can do good works with that abundance. Because God is the ultimate giver. He gives to us so that we can give to others. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, God will actually multiply what we do. And he actually, like, he provided the seed for us anyway. "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality," or generosity, "which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men." So we are setting a light. We are setting an example. The people back in Bluefield, West Virginia, where I started attending church, were a light to me. They set a wonderful example. And the people here in Corinth were going to be a light to the people in Judea. And notice it says, sharing with them and all men. We should not be withholding from being able to share to other people in our communities, other people that we see that have needs. Let's turn over to another scripture, another principle, over in Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. It says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." The word for generous here actually is literally good. So it literally means he who has a good eye. And a good eye actually is one that is observing the needs of others, is sensitive to the needs of others. It's seeing what needs to be done, seeing how they can help. So a bad eye would only see their self-interest. So good givers are discerning. Good givers are looking around for opportunities to give. And good givers actually take action. They give, for it says he gives of his bread to the poor. He sees a poor person who needs some bread, and he gives it to him. So it seems like common sense to me, but some people don't seem to do it. Over a couple of pages back in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." So God is especially concerned that we should help the poor. A giver should look out for the poor. God sees a giver looking out for the poor. The poor is not going to be able to pay you back. You shouldn't even want them to pay you back. God could choose to pay you back if somebody needs to be paid back. And God says he does pay back. And maybe he just pays back by giving us more so that we have more to give to others. You know, God will determine how he will pay us back. Another proverb over in Proverbs 28, verse 27, somewhat similar. Proverbs 28, verse 27. Here again, I said, God is very concerned about the poor. It says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. If you want to make sure you have enough, you should give to the poor. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. So it's kind of a blessing and cursing proverb here. We have a choice. We can choose to give, or we can choose to withhold or hide our eyes. You know, givers have a sense of social justice. They do look out for the needs of people that are less fortunate. They do take care of the disadvantaged. Givers are very much for those kind of things. Over in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4, actually. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Our motives shouldn't be for our selfish ambition. But in lowliness of mind, or in humility, let us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I think the scripture was read yesterday, a very, very important scripture. I mean, naturally we're going to look out for our own interests to some extent, but we should also look out for the interests of others. Good salespeople are who are givers. You believe that salespeople can be givers? But there are good salespeople who have their customers' best interests at heart. You like dealing with those kind of people, people who have your best interests at heart. People pick up on that. Consumers come to trust people who look out for their interests. Who do you want to go to for your service? Do you want to go to a doctor that is a giver? A doctor who's going to take the time to look you over and to try to figure out and to do the tests that need to be done. And the doctor who is going to counsel with you as to what the best thing for you to do. Do you want to go to a lawyer that is a giver who's going to look out for your best interests and give you the time? And maybe not charge you an arm and a leg for it, to just give you some simple advice. Yes, you'd want to go to a lawyer that is a giver. You'd want to go to an auto mechanic who is a giver, an auto mechanic who says to you, well, I think this tire is not going to be very good for you this winter. I think I would suggest you change this tire. Or he might just say, hey, I don't think you need to change your tires yet. Why don't you drive them another 5 or 10,000 miles and then bring it back? You know, somebody is looking out for your best interests. Somebody is looking over your car and just kind of saying, this belt looks worn. I would suggest you would change that. You know, that's the kind of guy you want to deal with. So you can just kind of go down any kind of business that has service, and you want to deal with the givers. I want to deal with the givers. And people become loyal customers to givers over time because they see that they are givers. It takes time to build that goodwill and trust, but eventually it will work out. If you are a giver, maybe you won't be as successful at first, but over time you will be the most successful. I know I work at a bank, and the most successful people in our bank are the people that are givers. We're very fortunate in our bank to have quite a few givers. And over time, they just have customers who just are so loyal to them, and they do treat them rightly. They waive fees for them when they see that it really needs to be waived. They suggest that they get this product because they can save money. They take the time to answer their questions. They actually look up and see what their balance is today and what checks came in today. And some people have all those kind of questions. But they take the time, and they're very courteous, and they show the people they're enjoying their work, and it's people like dealing with people like that. Givers have a passion for helping customers that they serve. Givers have a passion for helping customers that they serve. And the passion motivates them to looking forward to each day. They get up in the morning and they want to go and serve some more people that day. And they enjoy their work. It just kind of feeds on itself. And then givers feel satisfied at the end of the day because they gave it their all. They tried to serve as much as they could. They tried to give as much as they could. At the end of the day, they have a very satisfied feeling. Let's turn over to one more scripture over in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 through 26. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. A giver is a person who scatters. He scatters what he has. Maybe it's his expertise. Maybe he is a mentor to our younger person. Maybe he gives some of his time to a worthwhile charity. Or a worthwhile volunteer service in the community. He is a person who scatters his time, scatters his resources, scatters his expertise. And there is one who withholds more than is right. So that's the opposite end of the spectrum. Person is just looking out for themselves, is very wanting to make sure that they are taken care of. But it says it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. A giver is one who waters. He gives encouragement to those that maybe in the company that he works with. He gives encouragement to the people in the church, his local church. He gives encouragement to the leadership. He gives encouragement to those at the home office. He's watering. He's making them feel more inspired to do what they're doing every day and to provide the service that they're doing. Because givers can burn out if they devote too much of their time and don't have some positive feedback, so don't have some positive recharging. And people can help recharge them by giving them encouragement. Watering can also be helpful advice. You know, this is a way that it could be doing a little bit better, a little bit easier, a little bit less stressful. A giver does not hoard. A giver thinks about the needs of others. So, which way do you want to be? Are you more interested in giving or taking? Do you want to go the give way or the get way? Are you more generous or are you more selfish? These are questions we all have to ask ourselves. We are all very blessed to be a part of an organization that is a giving organization. one that is trying to give to this world a message of hope, a message telling them the happiest way to live, a message of how a coming kingdom is going to bring about a wonderful world. And we're giving this message for free. We just want to help you. We just want you to benefit from the things that God has given to us. So I think you will find that the kingdom of God will be a kingdom of givers. And that will be one of the reasons for the success of that kingdom that God is preparing. So prepare now for God's kingdom by being a generous giver.